This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's your host, Will Doctor.
Here we go now. Good Saturday morning, everyone. I'm Will Doctor, bringing you the latest as far as the world of golf is concerned here in week 45 of the pro golf season. A ton to do over the next hour. We'll get to Vic Isley here in just a minute. She is the president and CEO of Explore Asheville, and she's at the forefront of the announcement we heard this week that the PGA Tour is going to add another fall event, which is great news. We will hear from the leaders at the midway point of the Bermuda Championship as 11-year PGA Tour veteran Adam Hadwin opens 66-65 and holds a one-shot lead over local Texan Chandler Phillips and former Ole Miss standout Braden Thornberry. You've got another Texan in Noah Goodwin, only player in the field at Port Royal with multiple eagles through 36 holes. Goodwin's two shots back at 9-under, played his college golf up the road at SMU, rounding out his rookie season on the PGA Tour. Goodwin really needs two good weeks to close out the season. He came into this week ranked 148th on the money list. And remember, only the top 100 will retain their card after next week's RSM Classic. The good news for Goodwin is that Port Royal and Sea Island, both courses at Sea Island, Plantation and Seaside, both really set up well for his game. He's a very accurate driver of the golf ball who plays his best golf on Bermuda grass. But most guys at the top of that leaderboard in Bermuda are in the same position as far as keeping their card. Hadwin's 147. He needs a win over the next 2 weeks and has a golden opportunity after opening rounds of 65-66. Chandler Phillips, second year on the PGA Tour, he's 139. Thornberry's 178 with two top 20s on the season and no guaranteed status after next week. As aforementioned, Goodwin 148, and Max McGreevy, who is in that two-way share for fourth with Goodwin at 9-under, he's 100 on the money list. So needs a strong finish of the fall there as well. You know, to find someone who is comfortable with their position on the standings among those who are at the top of the leaderboard in Bermuda, you've got to go all the way down to Vince Whaley, who is in a tie for ninth at 6-under. Whaley is really the only player among the top 10 names on this leaderboard who is not in jeopardy of losing status. He is 86th on the money list, and that's likely going to get better after this week, being that he's recorded top 10s at Port Royal over each of the last 3 years. So we'll get in depth there with all the stories in Bermuda. We'll hear from Hadwin. We'll hear from Phillips. We'll hear from Braden Thornberry, 2017 NCAA champion. But really the marquee tournament this week is the DP World Tour Championship, where Rory McIlroy is trying to capture his eighth Race to Dubai title. That is just an absolute movie there at Humera Estates through 54 holes. World number two is in a share of the lead at 13-under with Rasmus Nygaard, Peterson, big-hitting Dane. You've got Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Angel Ayora, the great up-and-coming Spaniard, Matt Fitzpatrick, Rasmus Højgaard. That whole pack at 12-under will start the final round one shot back of McIlroy, Nygaard, Peterson. So that's going to be can't-miss television overnight in Dubai. We'll discuss the news of the Chevron Championship moving to Memorial Park. We'll get into your calls and questions. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here. Probably open the lines around 8:30. Let's get to our guest. Vic Isley is the president and CEO of Explore Asheville, and since taking over in 2020, she's led Asheville through major tourism initiatives and post-disaster recovery efforts from the disastrous Hurricane Helen. And over Vic's 30-year career, she's represented iconic destinations from Bermuda to Washington, D.C., and has really worked across the board in sports, everything from Super Bowl 35 to the NCAA Final Four, America's Cup. She's been at the forefront of major partnerships across the PGA Tour and United States Tennis Association. And really, all in all, she is one of North Carolina's most influential leaders. And now she's helping bring the PGA Tour back to Asheville for the first time in more than 80 years. The Biltmore Championship in Asheville will debut in September of 2026 as part of the FedEx Cup fall schedule. It'll be hosted at the Jack Nicklaus Design Cliffs at Walnut Cove, and it's going to be a four-year partnership between Biltmore Estate and Explore Asheville. Vic, congratulations. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning. It's great to be with you, and thanks for shining a light on Asheville and Western North Carolina here in the mountains. It's a beautiful day here.
The PGA Tour, you know, as the headline stated, returning to Asheville for the first time in more than eight decades. You know, first question, how did this partnership between Explore Asheville and the Biltmore Estate and the PGA Tour, how did that all come together?
Yeah, well, thanks for the question and listening to your intro with Port Royal and Bermuda happening this weekend. I grew up here in North Carolina and was fortunate to spend my career 30 years in destination marketing. And yes, I started when I was 3 years old, so don't do the math. And really, was fortunate to work with Bermuda in 2019 to do the first a partnership with the PGA Tour to bring the Bermuda Championship, now the Butterfield Bermuda Championship, to Bermuda. And then coming back to my home state of North Carolina and knowing, just the majestic beauty of Western North Carolina, and the history that the PGA Tour has had with this region, it is so exciting to have the tour come back to North Carolina in the Western state, Western part of the state, to be a part of our comeback after the devastating impacts of Hurricane Helene.
And can you talk about your last 2 years? I mean, the incredible recovery, you've been at the forefront of it. How is the community responding to the PGA Tour coming to town after what all of you have been through over the last couple of years?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks again. I would say first and foremost, the grit and gumption and determination of Western North Carolinians here in Appalachia is unrivaled. So the progress that we've made following the storm has been remarkable, and there's a bit more to go. And I think the confidence that the tour has had in Asheville to bring this event to our community for the next 4 years is really testament to the fortitude of our area. And when you think about that in terms of what the spirit of competition and sport means, when it brings a community together, is really spectacular. So the interest that we've had, in just this week of the announcement of interest in voluntourism and hospitality and sponsorship has been, everything we would hoped it would be.
Once again, we have Vic Isley joining us, president and CEO of Explore Nashville here on ESPN 97.5 Houston. Victor, from what I've researched, there's seven communities under the Cliffs umbrella. This event is going to take place at the Jack Nicklaus Design Cliffs at Walnut Cove. It's just minutes away from Asheville's airport and near the Blue Ridge Parkway. What made that specific club the right fit golf-wise and logistically for a PGA Tour event?
Oh, man, so many things. So, if your listeners just Google the cliffs at Walnut Cove and the images of the golf course just cradled by the Blue Ridge Mountains is absolutely phenomenal. The access from the airport to our downtown. And then, if your listeners are, the golfers themselves and they're looking at the length of the course at Port Royal in Bermuda and you think about courses here in Asheville, is that the cliffs at Walnut Cove are really, the length of the course that would work for these pros.
And Vic, as you know, the world of golf does not move. The world of golf does not function without charity. And the PGA Tour is really at the forefront of that in the world of golf with their charitable contributions at every stop on the schedule. What can Asheville expect in terms of a philanthropic impact from this tournament?
Yeah, you know, this is one of the reasons that we were really interested in entering into a partnership with the PGA Tour, is that they are one of the foremost entities that is committed to philanthropic efforts for communities. You know, this is the start of something here, so we could expect that, you know, $100,000 could be contributed to local charities here in the first year. And we know from our, you know, neighbors down in Greensboro and other areas is that that could grow to upwards of $1 million over the course of the partnership. And so given everything that our community has been through, our region has been through, this partnership with the tour is super exciting in terms of what the give back will be to our community.
That's incredible. Congratulations, Vic. Now, your career personally has spanned, you know, so many major big time events, Super Bowls and Final Fours and the America's Cup and even President Obama's first inauguration. How does, and I know you still, you know, there's a year to go but I'm sure some of the planning has definitely already begun. How does launching a PGA Tour event compare in complexity and opportunity compared to, you know, something like a Super Bowl or an inauguration or maybe even a Final Four?
I think it really comes down to what it means to the community, and that's why we do what we do every day at Explore Asheville. It's really to shine a spotlight on our creative community and to ensure that our creative economy, travel and hospitality economy, can thrive. And that means, you know, jobs for our neighbors and business for our neighborhoods. And so when you think about that, it is, you know, I just had a call yesterday with folks from the tour, and it was really about how do we make this event of Asheville for Asheville. And I really appreciate that in terms of how sports entities really think about how they come into a community, and particularly with the PGA Tour in terms of that charitable component. And how do you think about making sure that, you know, with our title, our co-title sponsor of Biltmore, which is celebrating 130 years in our community, and thinking about, you know, the legacy of craft brew, which really, you know, craft brewing here in our community, how do we make sure that all of those creative components and elements really come through? And, you know, it is not just, you know, an entity helicoptering into our community. It is really about building from the ground up in terms of embracing that. And I love that about the PGA Tour and how they come into a community and region.
There's no doubt about it. And I'm really interested. I'm going to be in Asheville for the tournament, and I'm really excited to see how, you know, the local residents and local businesses all come together on property. But for those who might not have a chance to make it out to Asheville for the tournament, you know, it's going to have a global broadcast footprint. It's going to be on Golf Channel, early round coverage on ESPN+. You'll have SiriusXM on site. You'll have the International World Feed. Asheville will be under the spotlight of the entire globe for that week, and that has to feel like a huge responsibility, putting the region under that kind of spotlight. How do you make sure the tournament serves the residents and local businesses and maybe not just visitors and rights holders?
Hey, well, that's how these kinds of events shine. And Asheville and Buncombe County in Western North Carolina consistently punches above its weight in terms of sports, in terms of live music, in terms of food, art. And so we're really excited to have this opportunity with the tour to shine the spotlight on those aspects of our community. And when you think about like the business to business of things like corporate and incentive trips here in Asheville, we are very sought after vacation destination. And so thinking about how that collaboration between, a personal trip and business can work together. And, you know, when Carson Daly comments on an Instagram post that he's coming to Asheville with this announcement, I think that's a pretty good indication of what we've got to come.
There's no doubt about it, Vic. That's going to be great stuff. I can't wait to get up there, and hopefully we can have you back on the show this time next year. We're out of time in this segment, but I really appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us here on ESPN 97.5 Houston.
Hey, well, thanks. And your listeners can go to exploreasheville.com or biltmorechampionship.com to follow along.
Thank you so much, Vic. Once again, that is Vic Isley. In case you missed the entire interview, you can find it on the Golf Hour on Apple Podcasts or Spotify at the conclusion of the show. And once again, the Biltmore Championship in Asheville debuted September 17th through the 20th in 2026 at the Cliffs at Walnut Cove, bringing the PGA Tour back to the Blue Ridge Mountains for the first time in more than 80 years. It's amazing to think, you know, last time the tour was in Asheville, it was in the early 1940s. Ben Hogan was the winner at the Asheville Land of Sky Open. So it'll be great to have the PGA Tour back in North Carolina. On the other side, we'll talk more about the PGA Tour Fall Series expanding. Of course, about a month ago, it was announced that the PGA Tour is also going to return to Austin for the first time since 2023. We'll get into that news. We'll go through the favorites there in Bermuda and in Dubai. We'll get to your calls, break down a few of your questions. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor, back after this.
Mike Booker, chairman of the Texas Golf Hall of Fame and holder of a record number of Texas Golf Association championships.
The Texas Golf Hall of Fame is the foundation of golf in our great state. So many great individuals, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Kathy Whitworth, Ben Crenshaw, and many others, lead the way in making golf in Texas known around the world. Now you can experience the history of Texas golf digitally at texasgolfhof.org and share with your family and friends. See you on the course.
You're listening to the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
Great to hear from Vic Isley, and it's great to see the PGA Tour adding events to the fall schedule. We spoke about the tournament in Asheville, but last month, the tour also announced it would be making a return to Austin for the first time since 2023. We've got Houston, Dallas, San Antonio, now Austin again. We have not seen the tour in Austin since they canceled the match play. And that tournament, the Good Good Championship, is going to debut in 2026 at the Canyon Course at Barton Creek. I've been extremely critical of the PGA Tour, you know, as far as shrinking the amount of cards from 125 to 100. You know, they're expanding the amount of signature events and ultimately providing less opportunity. And some of these moves, smaller fields, no cuts. We heard rumors that we were going to see as many as 12 signature events by 2027. All these moves are to increase purses and get more money to the top players in the world. And they're really moves to keep up with the Saudi purses at LIV Golf. But now that we've seen what a colossal failure that tour is, I think there's no doubt about it that the PGA Tour needs to stick to its roots. Full 125-man fields, 36-hole cuts. Keep charity at the forefront of everything, like Vic Isley was talking about. And I think, you know, you have to stick to the traditions that you've been working with for the last 40 years. And the format's a big part of that as far as the PGA Tour is concerned. As far as where the favorites are at the Bermuda Championship, you know, Rico Hoey was the highly touted player going into this week. Right now, through 36 holes, he is in a tie for 35th at 2 under par. Going to start the weekend 9 back of Adam Hadwin. Hoey's been playing solid golf all fall with a bunch of top 25s rolling into this week. His card is safe for 2026 as far as the top 100, but Hoey, you know, right now he is playing to try to get into those first two signature events of the year. If you're between 50 and 61 on the FedEx Cup standings by the end of the fall, you get into the first two signature events in 2026 at Riviera and Pebble Beach. Hoey at 58 and making the cut this week in Port Royal, he's on a good path to, obviously his card's a lock for next year, but he's on a good path to get into those signature events. Outside chance to win at 100-1 odds going into the weekend, but a lot of positive takeaways for Rico Hoey here to close out the fall. Thorbjørn Olesen was the second favorite going into this week at 22-1. Olesen, 8-time DP World Tour winner, still looking for his first win on the PGA Tour at 35 years old. He sits tied 24th at 3-under, heading into the weekend at 60-1 odds. And he's in need, Thorbjørn Olesen, the Dane, he's in need of a couple solid weeks to close out the season. He sits 95th on the FedEx Cup standings. You know, if he drops out of that top 100 by next week, Olesen, he'll be back full-time on the DP World Tour next year. Nico Echevarria, he was 28-1 to begin the week. He, you know, he's a 2-time PGA Tour winner. He's sitting 23rd at 4-under right now, 7 back of the leader. I don't think Echevarria is out of this tournament by any means. You know, he's heading into the weekend at a well-priced 45-1. He's now won twice on the PGA Tour at 28 years old. Got his first win in Puerto Rico in 2023 and then won again in Japan at the 2024 Zozo. You know, Echevarria loves Bermuda grass, can be a little shaky with the driving accuracy, but I think he is a guy who could make a move up the leaderboard this weekend. And I also think, you know, local Texan Pearson Cootie could as well. He was the fourth favorite in this tournament going into the week. Friend of the show, came into Bermuda off 3 top 15s in his last 4 starts, notably finished tied 3rd in Utah a couple weeks ago. And, you know, he's playing very well again in Bermuda. I believe he sits, let me double check this, because he had to finish up his round, his second round this morning. They got delayed due to darkness in Bermuda last night. Cootie's at 6-under in a tie for 13th. You know, going to start the weekend 5 back of Hadwin. Already on the course for his third round, 1-under through 4. So great stuff there with Cootie. Maybe we get him on the show in 2 weeks, get a little recap of the fall. And he's also leading the field in driving distance this week in Bermuda. The fifth favorite, probably the man of the hour on the PGA Tour going into this week, that's Michael Brennan, former Wake Forest alum. You know, it's amazing, not to drift off on a different subject, but Golf Channel announced their TV lineup for 2026. Great shows, obviously The Smiley Show. Jimmy Roberts is going to have a show. You know, you'll still have 5 clubs first thing in the morning. At 10 a.m. every day, you're going to have a show called Vanity Index. It's, you know, hosted by the creator of Full Swing, Chad Mumm. I can't believe they got a 10 a.m. spot on Golf Channel, if I'm being honest. Their first take yesterday, you know, they're diving into college golf, and the first thing out of Chad's mouth is, well, I think Wake Forest should be a top 10 golf school to go because, John, you know, John Daly went there and Bill Haas went there. John Daly never went to Wake Forest. John Daly never went to Wake Forest. He played a couple years at Arkansas and then went to the PGA Tour. You know, so those are the kind of characters you're dealing with on Golf Channel right now. Once again, subscribe to the Golf Hour with Will Doctor at Apple and Spotify. Michael Brennan did go to Wake Forest. So did Will Zalatoris. You know, they have a great alumni, you know, as far as the world of golf is concerned. And Brennan, he opened 33-1 this week. He won the Utah Championship a few weeks ago in his third start on the PGA Tour. And he was the highest-ranked player in the field going into this week. He is a long shot going into the weekend, sitting 9 back of Hadwin at 2-under. I think that's a little bit too much to chew off for Brennan going into the weekend, but still one of the brightest young players on the PGA Tour, no doubt about it. The two favorites, as aforementioned, who I think could make a move over the weekend is Nico Echevarria and Pearson Cootie. Echevarria playing well coming into this week. It is a Bermuda grass aficionado and has a top 25 on his resume at Port Royal. And it's the exact same story with Pearson Cootie. He's been in top form over the last 4 weeks. Obviously loves grainy Bermuda like we have here in Texas, and finished top 20 at this tournament last year. I would expect both of those guys, Echevarria and Cootie, to be in the top 10, maybe even a chance to win come the back nine on Sunday. Now, as far as the leaders atop the board, Adam Hadwin is a 36-year-old Canadian. He holds, let's see, how big is his lead at the moment? He holds, Hadwin is leading by one over Chandler Phillips and Braden Thornberry. It's his fourth career 36-hole lead. It's his first one since the 2023 Phoenix Open. It has been a tough go from Hadwin over the last couple years. We'll hear from him on the other side, along with the two players who are in second, Chandler Phillips and Braden Thornberry. We'll hear from them in their post-round two press conference. That's after this break on the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. Back after this.
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
Couple updates here. I told you Rico Hoey was in a tie for 35th to start the weekend. He's 5-under through 8 in his third round. He has jumped up to a tie for 10th. Only 4 back at Hadwin now, so Rico Hoey off and running. Leaders off at 8:21 a.m. That's Hadwin, Phillips, and Thornberry. I told you before the break, Hadwin, 36-year-old Canadian. It's his fourth career 36-hole lead, and it's been a tough go the last couple of years for Hadwin. And all of a sudden, he's 2 weeks away from losing his PGA Tour card unless he gets a win in Bermuda this week, or if he wins the RSM next week. And what's amazing about this, he spoke to the media before the tournament started. This is a player who has missed 7 cuts in his last 9 starts. Here's what he had to say about it.
There's been a lot of acceptance this year, I think, which is, you know, a bit of a shot to the ego, given that this is my 11th year on tour now. But it is what it is. I'm here. I feel like I've worked hard and just things haven't come together this year. So I'm building for, you know, the next 6 months and the next 12 months and, wherever that may be, whether it be on tour, the Corn Ferry, I'm not sure where I'll net out at this point, but, just continuing to work hard and trying to focus on the things that I can control and trying to, like I said, trying to build momentum for the future and start to see some good things. And, because it has been a challenge. Certainly, you know, probably the most difficult year I've had professionally, since turning professional, I would say, honestly. Head down, moving forward, trying anything I can to start moving in the right direction and see some results. Obviously, I have 2 events left to save my season, which is, it's a weird spot to be, to think like, okay, well, I'm trying to build momentum for the future, but at the same time, like, I'm not out of it and I still have a chance to go win a golf tournament or finish in the top 2 the next 2 weeks to salvage a season.
What a game this is. I mean, Hadwin, he has not finished better than 27th in a stroke play tournament since the beginning of February at the Phoenix Open. And as we just heard, talk with the media before the tournament about needing a win, and he is halfway home to achieving it. Hadwin in that final group just went out. He's even through 1. 65-66 is an impressive start in the gusty conditions presented in Bermuda. Wind is blowing 30. Changing directions every 5 minutes there in the middle of the North Atlantic. Hadwin talked about his performance through 36, specifically about how special that round was on Thursday.
Yesterday was blackout, honestly. I mean, hitting 2 3-irons inside 10 feet and that kind of stuff. I mean, you're just not going to do that again. Now, I hit some really bad tee shots today. You know, the tee shot on 13 couldn't have been further apart from yesterday, and you know, lost ball going back. I mean, I made a great second swing after that, and just to make double. So, yeah, disappointing, obviously, but they're tough holes. I mean, you're not expecting to make birdie like I did yesterday, so I'm probably back down to field average now.
Let's talk about former Texas Aggie Chandler Phillips. He's in that final group with Adwin, starts the weekend one back after rounds of 68, 64, 10 under going into the weekend. He's in the same boat in his second year on the PGA Tour. His job is on the line over the next 2 weeks, and Phillips spoke about that with the media scrum after round two.
I only have one option, and that's to go out there and try to win, because if I don't, I'm not keeping my card. And it's just, I mean, obviously, yeah, I've thought about it, but there's not a lot of answers to it. It's just one answer. It's just go out there and try to ball out, and, you know, if it happens, it happens. If not, you know, try to go fix what was wrong for the year, you know. And to tell you the truth, I'm pretty over this year. Like it's been a struggle, but I'm waiting for that finish line.
You know, like Pearson Cootie, Chandler Phillips is a guy that is born and raised in Texas, from up just north of us in Huntsville. Had an outstanding college career at Texas A&M, where he recorded 7 collegiate wins, including a regional win in 2018. It took Phillips a couple years to get situated on the Corn Ferry Tour, finally broke through with the win in the Bahamas in 2023, and has been on the PGA Tour for the last 2 years. You know, as he talked about, tough season, but, you know, in golf, there's no time like the present, especially at two golf courses that fit him so well over the next 2 weeks in Port Royal and next week in Sea Island. You know, like Cootie, plenty used to the windy conditions on Bermuda surfaces. It's the exact style of golf you'd play here in Texas without the North Atlantic right next to you. I look for Phillips to hang on and stay atop that leaderboard. He's one back at Hadwin. The last player in that final group, Braden Thornberry, another SEC legend who won the NCAA championships in 2017 while at Ole Miss. He's at 178 on the FedEx Cup standings. Another player, all three of these players in the final group, they need a win over the next 2 weeks if they're going to keep their card. Thornberry was in this situation last year on the Corn Ferry Tour. He hadn't done much going into last year's Corn Ferry Tour championship, was going to lose all status. And then he ends up winning the KFT Championship at French Lick to get his PGA Tour card. Unbelievable story there. Here was Thornberry checking in at Port Royal after round two.
There's so many shots that are hard out. Even the downwind shots are hard. So it keeps you very engaged with thinking around the golf course. And like I was saying earlier, sometimes it could be a chip that's closer to the hole and into the wind versus a 50-footer downwind. And you know, that's not a normal thing, but it just kind of, you have to really think about where you want to go right at flags. And then sometimes you're like, oh, it's just not worth it here. Let's just hit it 30 feet over here. And like, sometimes that can be a number thing, the wind direction you don't like, whatever. But I just really feel like if you can like the shot, you kind of take it on. And if you ever feel uncomfortable, just try to get to the middle of the green and deal with it from there.
Should be an absolute movie this weekend in Bermuda. I mean, these are in the final group. You know, these are three players who can absolutely win. Among the players that are behind him, Noah Goodwin, Max McGreevy, Frankie Sapp, and Vince Whaley. Very competitive leaderboard, very hungry leaderboard, as most of these players are grinding for their PGA Tour card. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here. Timmy Times back. How about Timmy Times' hit on Carson Young last week to top 10? Came on the show, gave that one out, loved Carson Young, ended up playing well over the weekend. We'll give Timmy another shot here. Tim, you're on the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. Fire away, my friend.
Well, the guys are already firing away. We got some guys already making the turn, and one of those guys on Newman Day is Rico Hoey. And is this is this the week he's going to get his win? I mean, with three top tens in his last five starts, he's 5 under through 8 holes. He's only 4 shots back. So if he can keep charging and have Hadwin and Thornberry, who I feel like is going to falter off. I don't think Thornberry's built for the moment. So Rico, it could be his time.
NCAA champion Thornberry at your alma mater in Ole Miss, Tim. You know, there's no bias there with Thornberry going into the weekend?
No bias.
Now, Rico Hoey, you mentioned, you know, he's, you know, 40-1 right now at 7 under, 4 back. A lot of good value there. You know, opened the week at 22-1, has a long way to go. But if he can get a low round out of the way early, and those leaders kind of falter with the weather in the afternoon, you know, it's not necessary. I think they moved the tee times up. Everyone's on the course already. You know, maybe trying to get ahead of that rain that's in the forecast in Port Royal around noon. Yeah, Rico Hoey, you know, open the week is the favorite. Now 4 back at 41 seems to be some great value there, Timmy Time. I asked you this last week about Carson Young. I'm going to ask you the same thing about Rico Hoey. Can he win this golf tournament at this point in time, or do you prefer the top 10 option?
I'll prefer the top 10 option just due to the weather variance and the 20, 30, 40 mile per hour winds that's been gusting. There's just too many big numbers ready to happen, so I think the top 10 is a safer option.
All right, Timmy Time, great work. Rico Hoey, once again, successful on Carson Young last week. See how it goes with Hoey. Tim, thanks for calling in. Once again, 713-780-3776 is the number. As far as where the favorites are at the DP World Tour Championship through 54 holes, Rory was the favorite there, and he's going to go into the final round in a share of the lead with Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen at 13-under. Remember, if Rory wins his 7th race to Dubai tomorrow, he is only 1 away from Colin Montgomery's record of 8 Race to Dubai titles.
Can we start first with the Rory Award, which was announced a couple of hours ago, the Rory McIlroy Award about the majors for next year? That's special, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's a huge honor. You know, I, for the last 18 years of my career, you know, in 2008 was the Sir Henry Cotton Award I was trying to go for. Pablo Larrazabal beat me to that, actually. Still hold it against him. But then it's been about trying to win Harry Vardon trophies and Seve Ballesteros awards. And now, you know, there's obviously going to be an award under my name, which is very, very cool. And, you know, to recognize the best DP World Tour player, their performance in the 4 major championships over the course of the year. It's an amazing honor. And, you know, I'm looking forward to next year when the majors are over and being able to hand it to whoever the deserving winner is.
I know you're a studier of golf history, Rory, and you realize your place in the game. But for you to be the 5th person that we name an award after, that in itself must be quite special.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. You know, when Guy and Eric approached us about it after the Masters, you know, my first inclination was, is it not a bit soon? Is it not a bit early? But, the more I thought about it, and the more, you know, I'm not going to be around forever playing, so it'll still be amazing to have my name, after my playing days, my name associated with this tour, and hopefully, you know, have an award named after me that means something to future generations that they want to strive towards to achieve. So, as I said, an amazing honor, and to have my name up there alongside Seve and Harry Vardon and Henry Cotton and John Jacobs, that's very special.
That's big time. Rory McIlroy, only the fifth player in DP World Tour history to have their own award. And remember, as far as going into tomorrow is concerned, Rory's also tied with John Rahm at three for the most DP World Tour championships. So a ton on the line for him for Rory tomorrow. I expect world number two to get the job done. You have some massive names surrounding him on this leaderboard. Matt Fitzpatrick, Rasmus Højgaard, Tommy Fleetwood, Angel Iora. I just think it's destiny for McIlroy right now. You know, opened the year, won the Players, won Pebble, completed the Grand Slam at Augusta. Got his own award, he had one other win on the European Tour to begin this fall. Let me check what it was. I think it was the European Masters. Let me check. Sorry, it was the Irish Open at the K Club, won there at home. My take for, we could go down the list, Fleetwood, McIntyre, Oberg, Fitzpatrick. My take since the beginning of the week is that Rory McIlroy is going to win this tournament. Tommy Fleetwood will finish top five. And those are both in great place going into the final round, to hit. So I like Rory to finish the job in Dubai. We got to take a quick break. Your questions are on the other side.
Mike Booker, chairman of the Texas Golf Hall of Fame and holder of a record number of Texas Golf Association championships.
The Texas Golf Hall of Fame is the foundation of golf in our great state. So many great individuals, Ben Hogan, Byron Nelson, Kathy Whitworth, Ben Crenshaw, Babe Zaharias, Tom Kite, and many more lead the way in making golf in Texas known around the world. Learn about the historic golf courses and the individuals that promoted the game through leadership, teaching, and passion. Texas and golf go hand in hand in the history of the game and camaraderie. Together we can honor the past, celebrate the present, and inspire future generations of Texas golfers. Golf is a sport for everyone, and I encourage you to experience the history of Texas golf digitally at TexasGolfHOF.org and share with your golf family and friends. That's TexasGolfHOF.org. See you on the course.
The Golf Hour continues now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
Nice to have you aboard, wrapping up here on the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. Adam Hadwin, Chandler Phillips, Braden Thornberry, they just went out there. All three of them are even through one. Hadwin still has a one-shot lead there in Bermuda. The rounds of the day so far on the course, Rico Hoey, he's 5-under through 9, vaulted up to a tie for 9th place. And then Vince Whaley, who, to me, you know, if you had to make some kind of live pick at the midway point of this tournament, you know, Vince Whaley is a guy not too many people know his name, but he has finished top 10 in Bermuda in each of the last 3 years. No surprise, he is in a tie for 5th at 8-under par, 2-under through 4 to start his third round. Let's get to some of your questions here. This is John in Magnolia. Will, saw Justin Thomas will be out for the first part of 2026 with injury. Did you hear anything about that? Yeah, I saw he announced on social media that he underwent back surgery. It was a minimally invasive operation at the Hospital for Special Surgery in New York. So his back was not cut open. He had a small incision, a small microdiscectomy done to repair a worn-out disc that was sending pain all the way down to his hips and you know, could ultimately lead to some pain in the leg. So while he didn't undergo the type of back surgery where they cut you open and it's pretty much the end of the road, JT did undergo a serious injection that will help heal a chewed up disc. And we're probably not going to see world number 20 Justin Thomas for 3 to 4 months. You know, I would say if he was not a freak athlete with Tiger-esque work ethic, I would say 6 months would be his recovery time. That would put us at May. My prediction is that Justin Thomas is back on the course in 4 months, playing one or two prep events before the Masters tournament in April. This is Reggie in Cyprus. Will, I've seen a lot of talk about Kai Trump getting a sponsor's invite to the Annika LPGA tournament and wanted to know your thoughts here. So This week, Annika Sorenstam's LPGA tournament in Florida, that's going on right now. Lynn Grant and Grace Kim are leading the way at 9-under at the halfway point, but you'd never know because everyone who is responsible for covering LPGA is stuck trying to fulfill their clicks quota talking about Kai Trump. Kai Trump was one of three sponsors invites in a 108-player field, 18 years old, committed to Miami, and she fired 83-75 to miss the cut. This is what people do not understand. Almost every LPGA and PGA Tour event give out sponsors exemptions. The tournament sponsors put up all the money to make the tournament happen, to fill the purses with a large proceed going to charity, and deservingly in return, the sponsor usually has four exemption spots, and they can pick whoever they want. You see it all the time, PGA Tour, Korn Ferry Tour, DP World Tour, Challenger Tour, the sponsor can pick whoever they want. Now, the only time I ever have a problem with the sponsors' exemptions are when they're given out in these new 70-player signature events on the PGA Tour. You can't shrink the field down to 70 and then cut it to 66 because you have four sponsors' invites. That is way too close to the Live Circus format. Annika, as far as this week at her LPGA event, she had three sponsors exemptions for her tournament in a 108-player field. That is very fair. The first one, she chose Annie Dunnan, who is a senior at Wake Forest. The Wake Forest women's team won the Annika Intercollegiate this year. One player from the winning team gets a sponsors invite, and the team chose Anne. So that's very fair there. Number two was Lauren Nigan. She was the second sponsors exemption. She led Northwestern to a national championship last year and is making her pro debut this week. And then number three was Kai Trump, who is committed to play collegiate golf at Miami, is ranked 461 on the AJGA rankings, and of course is the president's granddaughter. Annika picked two players, Ann and Lauren, who have accomplished everything at the amateur level. And she picked Kai, obviously not so much because of the on-course resume, but because Annika is close friends with the president, and it would get eyes on the tournament. It did get eyes on the tournament because of namesake and because Kai runs a major YouTube account. This is well within Annika Sorenstam's right as a title sponsor of a tournament. If you are someone who wants to change that, go become the title sponsor of the tournament. Outbid Annika, greatest LPGA player of all time. Go outbid Gainbridge and go become the title sponsor. You can pick whatever players you want. It is Pro Golf Tournament 101. The sponsor or the backer is always going to have a few spots to choose players. Now, it is really sad. I mean, I can't tell you how sad it is. How many of the golf media elite feel like they need to comment on this? You know, Beth Ann Nickel, she covers LPGA for Golf Week USA Today. Beth Ann Nickel put out this tweet. Let me read it to you. And keep in mind, we are talking about an 18-year-old high school player here. Beth Ann Nickel put this out Wednesday morning. She goes, "My first reaction to Kai Trump receiving an LPGA sponsors invitation, terrible idea. Her game isn't ready for this kind of spotlight. There's too much on the line at the season's penultimate event to have a circus breakout." But after this is a writer in her mid-40s, mid-50s. She goes, "After much reflection, I have changed my mind. Between the presence of Caitlin Clark in the Pro-Am and President Donald Trump's granddaughter in the 108-player event, this might become one of the most talked about LPGA events in the tour's 75-year history." Close quote. Do people read this stuff before they send it out? You had to reflect and change your mind about how you feel about an 18-year-old high school player. I'm sorry, that is a sad, sad situation. Please get back to covering the top of the leaderboard. Please get back to covering the top of the leaderboard. Three-time Annika winner Nelly Korda is three shots back of the lead going into the weekend, but all NBC and Golf Week correspondents can talk about is 18-year-old Kai Trump. I mean, geez, have a sense of what is going on. You're really going to scream and sit there and scream about one sponsor's invite in a 108-player field? That is pathetic. We got one more. This is Roger in Kingwood. AJ, do we have time to answer one more? We run out of time here. We got one more? This is Roger in Kingwood. Will, have you heard any talk about CEO Brian Rolopp saying that he wouldn't want Tiger to play Champions Tour because it would take eyes off the PGA Tour? Now, that has not come out of Brian Rolopp's mouth, as far as I'm concerned. There have been players on PGA Tour Champions that have talked about, you know, over the last week, Billy Andrade, he's a two-time PGA Tour winner. He came out and said, what's the buy-in for a PGA Tour event that nobody is going to watch the minute Tiger Woods shows up to play a Champions Tour event? I think that's what they're worried about. Tom Pernice, he said, Tiger will be out here on Champions Tour if the tour wants him to be here. But does the tour want Tiger to stay over on the PGA Tour as opposed to play on the Champions Tour? That is the question. You know, it's actually interesting stuff. We heard from Golf Week senior editor Tim Schmidt a couple weeks ago that if Tiger plays on Champions Tour, those events would be bumped to network coverage on NBC and ESPN and ABC. So you do have some kind of complicated crossovers between CBS and Golf Channel. I'll give you an example. You know, the Byron Nelson in Dallas is the same week as the Insperity Invitational, the first week of May. The Nelson is on CBS and the Insperity Invitational usually on Golf Channel. What happens when Scottie Scheffler, the face of the PGA Tour, is in contention on Sunday afternoon at the Byron, and you also have Tiger Woods here in the Woodlands in contention at the Insperity Invitational? Does Golf Channel bump the Insperity Invitational to NBC Network and have that going at the same time as Scotty on CBS? That could be a complicated situation. We're going to have to hold off on the news that the Chevron Championship is moving to Memorial Park. Quite simply, I think it's an amazing move. You don't want the people in the city of Houston having to drive all the way out to the Woodlands to go watch the best LPGA event of the season. So I think that's good news. It's staying here in Memorial Park, coming into the city where the PGA Tour holds the Houston Open. We're all out of time here. AJ behind the ones and twos, John Bellmer, I appreciate all the help. We'll talk next week on the Golf Hour with Will Doctor.